So here at my remote studio, every day there's something. Every day. I leave it the way I found it, and every day I come and there's something off with the audio and there's something else happening. And now I gotta do the reads through the text messages on my phone. And Raj, instead of just texting me directly, included everyone in our DraftKings league. Sent a group text with all my reads to a group text. By the way, Raj, I woke up this morning. I went to see DraftKings because it's Wednesday and the league is starting. Yeah. And there are three different leagues for me to enter. As usual, you've sent me three different games. I don't know which one to enter. I don't want to get locked out again. I look forward to DraftKings all week.
Well, if Ben Lyons and everyone is done with the reads, I sent them all. I'll help you get into DraftKings.
If I don't get into a DraftKings league, like our DraftKings league, because like who cares about some anonymous league? I want to beat all my friends. Who are really my enemies, your sports enemies are actually the people you're close to, your colleagues, your brother, your dad, your friends, whoever. Those are actually your sports enemies. That's who you're competing against, you know?
Of course.
So you'll find stuff to argue about, even if you both love the same team. You'll pick different players, whatever. Suddenly you're rooting against the player on your own team because you don't want your brother to be right, you know, that he's better, that guy's better than the guy you're rooting for. But every week, like if I don't get into our DraftKings league, because there's no emotional stakes otherwise, right? Like, what do I care if I just beat strangers or lose to strangers? I don't watch Red Zone. I actually watch whole games. I got kids. I don't have time to sit there watching complete games all weekend, flipping back and forth between two early games and two late games and and then the Sunday night game. And no, I want. And by the way, you're like, well, you miss stuff if you don't watch the whole game. No, you miss stuff if you don't watch Red Zone.
True.
Anyway, we got a lot to do here today. It's time for Straight Talk Wireless, brought to you for Straight Talk. I almost allow myself to introduce myself. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I'm scared as a Lakers fan right now. I'm scared. And let me tell you why I'm scared. It's not that the Lakers lost. They're not going to sweep every series. It's the fact that they came all the way back just about on the Nuggets. You felt that Laker title wave. Okay, enough playing with these little puppies. Here come the big dogs. Here comes LeBron with AD and a bunch of role players that he knows how to use properly, right? Here it comes. And no, the Nuggets took that shot, and they hit right back and go on a 10-1 run.
Turn the ball over.
Too much. That high arcing dagger that Jamal Murray launched. Look, Rondo, playoff Rondo, is real. That's a real thing. He's a real dude. And the clamps he put on defensively it felt like he came up with a steal every possession. The look, the intensity on that dude's face. And then when you look at the bodies that the Lakers have on defense, the live bodies on defense, who can switch and defend their man and are high IQ guys, but just basically really good defenders. Think of the good defenders on the Lakers. And everyone I'm about to mention is actually a great defender for different reasons. Rondo is a great defender when you need him to be. LeBron James, same thing. High leverage moments, a great defender. All-time great defender, really. Anthony Davis, great defender. Dwight Howard is a great defender. Danny Green is a great defender. And very experienced. It's five dudes. Everyone I just mentioned can play defense. They put the clamps on. The Nuggets didn't know what to do. We were talking about it on First Take today. Boy, the zone works in these playoffs. Like, basic defense works on these. But okay, whatever. It was working. And the Lakers get it to within three? Oh, my God. They're down 20. The Nuggets are cruising. It's just not the Lakers' night. The Lakers get it to within 3 points? A young team is supposed to fold right there. That's not this Nuggets team. Malone's a coach who coached in, he was an assistant high school coach. That's where he started. Assistant high school coach. Put in work, paid his dues for decades. From assistant high school coach to assistant college coach. Worked his way up the ranks until he got a head coaching job. This dude knows the coaching business inside and out. And then you give that guy not one MVP caliber player, because I thought Jokic was maybe a half step below that in the regular season, but great, but like maybe not quite an MVP, almost. 4.5 star player. But in the playoffs, he's been a 5-star player. And Jamal Murray has been too. I thought he was a 4-star. I thought he was an all-star. No, he's an MVP. You got two on the same team. And then you got guys like Grant popping their heads up, or Millsap, smart old veteran who can still play, let alone Porter Jr. if he really gets going. This is the one team. Up 3-0, the Lakers are going to win the series. I don't see the Nuggets sweeping the Lakers, which up 3-0, the Nuggets have to sweep to win. I thought that was a big game last night. You do not want, and it's not even about breathing life into the Nuggets team. I keep saying that. You don't want to give them any life. It reminds me of like you watch a fight, and the boxer is controlling the fight early, and then the pressure fighter gets inside, and after a round or two, you hear in the boxer's corner, the slick guy's corner, they're like, don't let him get in on you. Use your. Sometimes that dude, what do you mean, don't let him get in on you? Sometimes it's not up to you. The other guy's trying too. He has a strategy too. Sometimes the other, you're just not good enough to control the other guy, or he's too good to be controlled. It's not that the Lakers are breathing life into the Nuggets. They tried to take it out of them. It's that the Nuggets are little fighters, man. Boys in Denver, for real. 6 elimination games in these playoffs. 6-0 in those games, obviously, or they wouldn't still be playing. It reminds me of, like, the greatest Bill Russell stat I've ever heard. It's one of the all-time great sports stats. Bill Russell, who, you know, like, the greatest player of all time is Michael Jordan, and then it's either LeBron or Kareem, right? But we're really heavily biased in the, toward the modern era, which for good reason. There's more competition now and all that. It's harder to do these things nowadays. But Bill Russell, who's considered before Jordan by many the greatest player of all time. Oh, it's not fair. Wilt didn't have the same teammates. Wilt had good enough teammates. Yeah, but his stats are so much better than Bill Russell's. All right. But listen to this stat. Bill Russell, the great Celtics center, played 21 deciding games in his career, amateur and pro, high school, college, NBA, all that. 21 deciding games. See, when you get to a deciding game, whoever has the best player almost always wins. What was Bill Russell's record in those deciding games? If he was like 15-6, something like that. Boy, he's winning more than twice as much as he's losing in those deciding games. If he was 18-3, it's like, damn, this dude was 21-0 in those games. And go check his Game 7 stats. Always in Game 7. What? He had 30 points and 40 boards. Who is he playing? Wilt Chamberlain. Oh, never mind. I mean, that tells you a lot. The Nuggets are now 6-0 in elimination games. All right, so that was Straight Talk Wireless. Sorry, that was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance, by the way. Perk's on the line. Perk, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Max.
Kendrick,
I'm here.
Perkins.
I'm right here.
So this is what I'm talking about, Perk. Before we get to the Celtics and the Heat, I keep hearing, and I've been even saying, hey, you don't want to breathe life into this Nuggets team. But I was saying it reminds me of a fight. See, where's Granny? Granny's a fight fan. She'll know. It reminds me of a fight. Sometimes a slick boxer's winning the early rounds. Then that little pressure fighter gets on the inside, right? He has a good round or two, and in the corner, the boxer's corner man is going, don't let him inside. You have to control with your jab. And I'm thinking, what do you mean don't let him in? That dude has a game plan too. What do you mean? It's not so easy not to let him in. You're not letting him do anything. He's doing it. How I feel about the Nuggets, Perk, don't let them. I've been guilty of saying that. It's not a matter of let them. The Lakers' tidal wave was coming in that fourth quarter. The Nuggets took it, shook it off, and came back with a 10-1 run. Your thoughts on the Lakers-Nuggets series right now?
Well, first of all, Max, we're not about to overreact to that. Just because it's cloudy outside don't mean it's raining. All right, so we're not about to overreact of the Lakers helping the Nuggets win game three. The Lakers had 18 unforced turnovers, meaning they was careless with the ball. LeBron James stuck it up in the first half. Anthony Davis, he stuck it up in the first half. Rondo did. The whole Lakers team was just horrible. They was throwing the ball everywhere, missing defensive assignments. They helped the Denver Nuggets out. And by the way, did you see Frank Vogel couldn't sub LeBron and AD out? They were gassed. So they had to waste so much energy just getting back into the game that when they did get it close, they didn't have their legs up under them to finish shots. So then the Nuggets pulled away. So, I mean, look, everybody could talk about, oh, AD, he hit the game-winning shot. If not, it would be the Nuggets would be 2-1. We can't say that. Because if the series was tied 1-1 before last night, the Lakers walk into that arena with a different mindset than what they had last night. You could tell by their play, they was relaxed.
But they came at them. They came at them in the fourth quarter. Rondo turned it up seven notches. The look on his face, man, he was on fire defensively. LeBron, everybody. They put the clamps on, and these young boys just took the shot, shook it off, and came right back on them.
Yeah, but Mr. Kellerman, what I'm telling you is that they didn't come at them from the jump. They didn't. What was it? If the Lakers was if the series was tied 1-1, we would have seen that intensity from the Lakers that you seen in the fourth quarter. That would have been at the start of the game. That wasn't the same intensity that we saw in the fourth quarter.
I'll say this before we move on to the Celtics and Heat. You're right. Just because it's cloudy doesn't mean it's raining. But Perk, they face six elimination games in these playoffs. They're 6-0. If it was cloudy 6 days in a row, and you come in and every day you're soaking wet, on day seven, if it's cloudy, I'm looking at you like, brother, you better grab an umbrella. It doesn't mean it's going to rain. You might be all right without an umbrella, but brother, grab that umbrella. I'm a Lakers fan, Perk. I was like, oh, here it comes. LeBron James is a basketball genius. By the way, so is Rondo. They have two, like, super high IQ dudes. You look at the guys who can play defense on that team. LeBron, when he needs to, is an all-time great that way. Rondo, Danny Green can play defense. AD, Dwight can play defense. They put the clamps on these dudes. And for a while, it rattled them. But these young guys adjust so quickly. Jokic, Murray, all these guys. And they have a veteran like Millsap on that team, sure. But also, Grant, after, I guess it was on Plumlee, but he and Plumlee, to me, like, get it together when AD took that shot. They just weathered the storm, and you blink, they went on a 10-1 run.
But, Max, let me ask you a question before we change the subject.
Yeah.
Grant and the point guard that Murray. Comes in off the bench. I can't. Right. They combined for about 40-plus points. I think it was 40 points. Grant had 26. So you're telling me that you think that Grant is capable of having 25-plus every single night for the rest of this series?
No, it's not. You're talking about Harris. No, it's not. It's not that I think he's capable of 20-plus every game. But he doesn't need to be, because if Porter gets hot, he could go for 30 in an eye blink. You know, like,
yeah, but he's a defensive. If Porter gets hot, that means Grant is not on the floor. That means Porter is Swiss cheese. He could get hot and go for 20, but he's going to give up 60 on the defensive end because he's that poor defensively.
He's a bad defensive player. There's no two ways about it. But what I'm pointing out is when you have, like, LeBron and another star on the team, the problem for the other team is usually, you know, like, someone else, like, J.R. Smith starts hitting shots, something like that, right, in the past. You'd be like, damn, well, if J.R. is hitting shots, you ain't going to do nothing with LeBron and Kyrie. And Kevin Love, like, what are you going to do? LeBron and AD, the same thing now. Like, well, if Danny Green's hitting shots or whoever, KCP. But that's what the Nuggets have in Murray and Jokic. Those two are so much that when you get contributions from anyone else, you're like, well, damn, these dudes are going to be hard to beat. Like, that's because they're really, really good, Perk. Let's put it this way. I'm a Lakers fan. If they won last night, I'd be resting easy right now. They're winning 2-1. They could easily be losing this series 2-1. I just saw what they did to the Clippers and the Jazz. I'm nervous. I'm nervous, Perk.
Max, I'm sleeping well. I'm sleeping well. I'm not nervous at all. Because
you're overweight. Let's face it. That's why you sleep well. Yeah. You eat well, so you sleep well.
James,
yes.
LeBron James has never let me down for getting to the finals. Now, we could have a different conversation about him winning it all. But for him getting to the finals, he spent over 50% of his career there. And when he gets to this moment, there's no stopping him.
I'm with it, but he hasn't been in the West yet. And even in this weird kind of year, here you are in the Western Conference like, well, he should have been playing the Clippers. No, if he should have been playing the Clippers, they'd have beaten the Nuggets. When you're in the Western Conference Finals, the Western Conference Finals, that's a whole lot of. You know, and by the way, the Lakers should win this series. And I'm not trying to diminish LeBron. When people bring up, oh, he's been in the East the whole time. Shut up. Come on. He went to the finals every year. It's amazing. But it's not like we can dismiss that. The West is a different animal, or has been anyway. All right, look, let's talk about the East, okay? Can we talk about the Eastern Conference? You're talking about your goons from Dade County, right? You like to bring that up a lot, even though you played for the Celtics. But since they got Gordon Hayward back, that's one game now. You saw a very different Celtic team, Perk. What do you think about game four tonight?
Look, I had this series going 7, right? But I feel like the Miami Heat, and I told you this earlier on First Take, and I'm saying it now on the Max Kellerman Show. The Miami Heat could play bad and beat the Celtics. The Celtics cannot play bad and beat the Miami Heat. If you go and look, the Celtics Big Four, that's what you call it, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum.
They're an upper-middle class four. They're not a Big Four. They're an above-average-size four. Right.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay. But they had to play almost close to perfect to beat a struggling Miami Heat team that struggled from the field. They had to play almost perfect just to pull game 3 out when their back was against the wall.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I mean, look, Butler and Dragic and Hero are guys who can do a lot of stuff. Duncan Robinson can shoot the lights out. Bam is you call him the third best big in the world. He might be. Certainly he's top 5, right? I mean, no one's going to take him out of the top 5. So, like, they got a lot. But, Perk, when I look at the Celtics, look, Stephen A. and I were arguing about this last year. He was saying when Brad Stevens got his dude, Gordon Hayward, when he got healthy, he gave him minutes at the expense of some of the young guys, and it caused some problems on the team. When you talk to people around the Celtics who cover the Celtics and stuff, Coach wanted Gordon Hayward's passing in the starting unit, right? You see why. Gordon Hayward comes back to this team, and he's a baller on both sides. He doesn't do any one thing that's just like, oh, my God, it's the best thing I've ever seen. But he does so many things well. It made a huge difference.
Look, Max, I cannot disagree with you on that. And to add to your point, not only is Gordon Hayward a good passer, he's also a good cutter. And that means, like, when he's cutting to the basket, he cuts with a purpose. He know he may not get the ball, but it opens up shots for anybody else. And by the way, you're right. Gordon Hayward just being on the court playing a decoy is a huge plus because it makes guys hesitant to even leave him, and it makes the lane wide open, and that's why the Celtics did dominate in the paint in game 3. But, man, I tell you what, it's hard for me to go against Eric Spoelstra and his game planning, and he had about 5 days to prep for what the Celtics threw at him. I would be shocked to see what he throws at them tonight. The lineups, the different zones, the different defenses. It's going to be something to watch. And Jimmy Butler's going to come out aggressive. I want this to go 7. And in the perfect world, I want to be wrong about Miami, right? I want, like,
Celtics,
think about
Lakers,
it.
Yeah.
We would love to see a Celtic Laker in the bubble, in the finals, in 2020. That could be the best thing that probably happened in 2020, right? Mm-hmm. But
well, I could think of one better thing that could happen, but we'll talk about that another time.
But I'm saying, Max, I just can't count out them goons from Dade County. They
well,
just
listen, I'm actually with you about this. I thought originally the Celtics, I went back and forth, okay, Celtics in seven. I think they shoot it a little better. And then defense and shooting. And then when they missed Hayward for the first two games, they fell down 0-2. I said, well, look, if I start seven, I take the Celtics in seven, I'm going to flip to the Heat in seven because they jumped out 2-0 without Hayward. I'll still take the Heat in seven, but I think if the Heat win this game, it ain't going seven. You know, I just think that the Celtics are more desperate right now. One thing I like, the point that you brought up earlier on First Take was Bam. And the kind of influence he can have. To me, that influence is maybe it forces you away from your best lineup, which is instead of Tice, Marcus Smart. And maybe you gotta insert a slightly bigger lineup to counteract Bam's presence. I don't know if he's going to go down low. But it's a good point. And the Heat should be favored in this series, I think, at this point. But tonight, I like Boston. Why hasn't Granny been on this show yet? I want to know. Your grandma is a fan of mine. She tells you that she doesn't like your attitude toward me. I want her on the simulcast, and we talk about it every time, and she's not on the show. Don't try to prep her. Don't prep her. Oh, Granny, you got to be on my side. I just want her on fair and square.
Okay, well, look, Max, I'll tell you what. The next time she's on, I'm going to make sure I call her. Get her on the phone. That way you could hear her. I just don't want her to say anything out of pocket. You know, when you talk about grandmas and grannies, you know, they're older people that's stuck in their ways. And I don't know what might come out of her mouth. You know,
that's why I want her on the air.
Yeah, I know, Max, but you know, it might be some things that she might say about me that I might not want you to know.
But no, it's better this way. Trust me, Perk. It's better. You want to be intimate with your audience. You're turning into a big media star. You want to get your audience to get to know you. I mean, maybe not, but I want the audience to know. I just want to know these things so I could use it against Perk. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen, on the Max Kellerman Show.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
There's no way that this is the music for my show.
Yeah, I mean, Allie's in the chair today, and I told her, go have at it. You know, she wasn't sure what she liked, and I said, well, what do you think Max is into? And this is something she was into, so she said, hey, here
no,
we
she's
go.
Not
what
into
is this,
this,
Allie?
Allie's not into this.
Allie, what is this? Who is this?
This is Garth Brooks.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
Ain't going down till the sun comes up, and admittedly, I have zero music knowledge. So.
Yeah. Wow. I like the harmonica.
Is that the harmonica? Okay. Well, there
yeah,
you go.
That, this...
So in you case know, you tuned I, in and you think people, you tuned into the wrong channel, no, this is the Max Kellerman Show. It's okay.
People ask me through the years, like, why are you into hip-hop? Because increasingly, you know, as I got older, my taste got kind of less eclectic and more hip-hop oriented. And I like, it just sounds better. What can I tell you? Like, this, the music sounds better. It's a better sounding music. And let me tell you why. Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker. And by the way, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I'm going to throw something out there right now, and then I'm going to get to what I told you I was going to talk about. But I want to throw this out. I want to see what people think. I think it's not working with Odell in Cleveland. I think that hold on, I can hear you, Raj, through the Zoom. Okay, there you go. I don't think it's working with Odell in Cleveland. I think that there's obviously no chemistry with Baker Mayfield. I think that Odell should be dealt while he still has a lot of trade value. Not that he'll play poorly, but that if it gets to be known, like, oh boy, this is a bad situation in Cleveland, he's a distressed asset at that point, and the Browns won't get fair value. It'll be hard to get that anyway. I think Odell should be dealt to either the Packers or the Patriots. I'll get into why in a little while. But 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Would you rather see him play? Want to see him hook up with Cam and Belichick or Aaron Rodgers? All right, now, back to what I was going to talk about. First, now, that's a lot. Things are piling up to talk about, Raj. First, I have to explain hip-hop for a second. You know, people complain about the samples. Yeah, it's not music. You got to write your own music. And, you know, like... But let me explain to you what hip-hop sampling is really about. You know, hundreds of years ago, if there's some great song, composition, an opera or whatever, hundreds of years ago, how often could you hear that? There's no recorded music. How often could you even hear it played? You'd have to hear it play live. And to really hear the whole thing in orchestra, who had money for that even? this idea of a middle class is pretty, or working class even, is pretty new. So if a great song, like, oh, this song is 300 years old, it's not played out, right? Because it wasn't a top 40 situation where it's played to death all over the country. And now with Apple Music and all the streaming services, you hear the same, your favorite song a billion times, right? So what hip-hop is recombinant culture. It takes, if there's some great song with an amazing hook, so you listen to it all the time, like you couldn't do hundreds of years ago, and you play it out in a month, you don't want to hear it anymore. But there was a reason you got hooked in the first place, because intrinsically the song sounded good, right? So what hip-hop does is recombine the best elements of those songs that you played out. And a couple of years later, here it is. Let me repackage this for you. I'm just talking, forget about lyrics and rapping. I just mean the musically even. It sounds better. You're hearing sounds you already like. All right, listen, let me pay off what I was talking about last segment. Kyler Murray is having a very good season so far. As Ryan Clark pointed out on First Take today, not like Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson quite, right? They put up better numbers, but he's 2-0. He's in a monster division. You know, as weak as the NFC East is, that's how strong the NFC West is. It's impossible. You're talking about Seattle, my pick to come out of the NFC. You're talking about the Rams. A couple years ago, they looked like the best team in football for a lot of that season. They looked like a version of that again. This is a brutal, brutal division. The Niners represented the NFC in the Super Bowl last year at a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Arizona, well, how many get? No, Arizona, I thought, would be in the hunt this year. They're all going to be in the hunt this year. This is a murderer's row of a football division. The best in the NFL by so much, it's embarrassing. Like, the NFC West is, there's no contender for first place. It's it. The NFC West. Kyler Murray is going to keep them competitive all year. They're not going to win the division, but he's going to keep them competitive. And he's got a legitimate number one receiver. All world, like, every generation has the best hands guy, right? Chris Carter. Larry Fitzgerald. That's who DeAndre Hopkins is. Speaking of Larry Fitzgerald on the same team, that's who DeAndre Hopkins is. He's this era's version of that guy. Best hands ever. Like, a generation of football fans will swear that dude had the best hands. Right? He's going to be on a list of greatest hands ever. Kyler Murray's throwing to that guy, and he can run like that too. He's athletically superior to Baker Mayfield, even though they came out of the same system. And he put up better numbers than Baker Mayfield too in college. He's a better player. Is Kyler Murray a top 10 player in the NFL? I suspect at this point he is. I can't prove it. But quarterback is by so far. And one of the Bosa brothers is a defensive end, or Miles Garrett, or obviously Khalil Mack or someone like that, or Aaron Donald. No, he's not a better quarterback than those guys are defensive frontline players. But quarterback is much, much more important than one player on your defensive line. So if you want to put Donald and one or two guys ahead of him, how many quarterbacks would you put ahead of Kyler Murray? It's a guess at this point. I'm guessing. We're all just guessing at this point. It's two games in. But considering his age, that he was the best rookie last year offensively, that he was the number one overall pick in college, that he put up even better numbers than another number one pick out of the same system with the same coach and everything, that given his age, his trajectory, how much better already he looks this year than last year when he already looked good last year, the fact that he has DeAndre Hopkins, what would you guess? Is he going to get better or worse? Because I guess better. So my guess is this. Here are quarterbacks he's not as good as. Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. But then you get into some interesting territory. Cam, I'll take over him. Josh Allen? Josh Allen is like that now, too. Like, oh, Josh Allen's coming into his own. Young, up-and-coming quarterback, right? Well, who else? Who else are you putting ahead of him right now at quarterback? And saying you're among the top 7 or 8 quarterbacks is the same thing, more or less, as saying you're among the top 7 or 8 most valuable players, because quarterbacks are incredibly valuable. It's a lot, boy. That happened fast, huh? Gale Sayers passed. I want to talk about that. I'm going to get into my Odell point, where I think he should go, because I think he should go. Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Guests on the Max Kellerman Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. The Dodgers clinched the top spot in the NL. Got NFL on the brain. In the NL, but does it even matter?
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN News, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, and on your smart speaker, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Guests on the Max Kellerman Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. No Doubt on the Max Kellerman Show is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Now it's time for imaging, Raj. I'm pausing for the imaging. I see the imaging. I don't hear the imaging, curiously. I guess it's imaging, not
you know
sounding.
What? I don't. Yeah, I can't find the button to the imaging, so we're just going to go a cappella.
Okay, so let's do the a cappella.
All right, let me ask you.
All right, well, hold on. Wait. I got to get myself in the right frame of mind.
All right. Remember, two things I need you to say.
I need to start out by saying, no doubt or not, son.
That's right.
That's
right.
If I agree, nah, son. If I disagree, because Raj claims this is what I say normally in life if I either agree or disagree with people.
That's what you do. I pay attention. All right, here we go. Right. Adam Silver. This is from Adam Silver. He says, best guess, next NBA season won't start until 2021, son.
That's good. By the way, that's what the NBA should be.
That's
about,
not how you
right?
play. We just went over this.
By the way, I have a blind spot here. I have a real blind spot here. This is something like a monkey could do. A monkey could do that better than me. If you told the monkey, maybe I need to be rewarded with like a banana or punished with an electric shock. What the hell is the matter with me? I didn't even do that as a gag.
No, we just did it.
If the fate of the world was on it and the death beam was pointed toward Earth and I had to say no doubt or nah, son, the Earth would be toast.
Okay.
So what was the question? Let's try this again.
NBA season won't start till 2021.
No doubt.
Ah, we did it.
See, but here's the problem I just realized with that. So what you said that? You're saying, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Then I would say no doubt or nah, son. You're just like, NBA season, you just gave me a fact. So what am I supposed
right,
to say? What am I supposed to claim that it's a not true, not a true fact? Look, I'll tell you why I like it, okay? Uh-huh. Because there's not, like, the NBA should start around Christmas. And by the Christmas Day is the big NBA day anyway. You start it then and let it go until the summer. Go ahead.
All right. Quickly on this. Giants, they get Devontae Freeman. And they agreed to a 1-year, $3 million deal.
Up Super Bowl.
Good signing
here we come.
For the Giants. Good signing for the Giants.
No doubt, except it's like I need a third option here. Like, who cares? You know, Devontae Freeman, if he's healthy, is a nice player. He was a daily fantasy monster a couple of years ago. I used to beat you and Marcellus with Devontae Freeman like you were rented mules. Do you remember? Oh, my God. Oh, no, then actually we all had Devontae Freeman, so it just canceled out. But who cares? What are the Giants going to do? This is a division you might be able to win with 6 or 7 games. The Giants will still be in last place. What else you got?
All right, you tease this one. Dodgers clinched National League's top seed. It's their 8th straight NL West title. 8th straight. But it's World Series win or bust for the Dodgers.
Every year like this. It's been since 1988.
It's not how you play.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I'm not even playing against anyone. I'm losing this game. I'm like the Giants. No doubt. Who am I talking about? The Dodgers? The Dodgers, since 88, never win the World Series. And you know why? Because even when they got Andrew Friedman and this brilliant front office and they're playing money ball with money and all that stuff, their best player for years was Clayton Kershaw. And he had a very good season this year, too. He was really not performing up to standards when you needed him most. when you needed Kershaw most. Now, it turns out maybe there were signs being stolen, and that didn't help him out any. But Clayton Kershaw has to come up big under pressure, or as usual, the Dodgers will not win the World Series. Oral Hershiser and Fernando Valenzuela were big under pressure. And so was Sandy Koufax. Kershaw's got to be that. Oh, look, I'm worried about the Lakers. I'll tell you why, coming up on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.